Good morning. I want to welcome you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and pray that His Spirit might touch each one of us this day as we remember our earthly mother. This is a day of rejoicing because none of us would be here without our mothers. I want to give a little the scripture I have thought of in the bulletin. I'd like to lay a little groundwork before. These young men, 2060, were the sons of Helaman, and they were Lamanites. Their folks had made a covenant with their heavenly father through Ammon going in on a missionary trip to their land, and they made a covenant that they would not shed blood anymore, that they would rather die or go to their glory and to their heavenly father than to shed blood. And that was their covenant, but these young men had not made that covenant, and they went to the land of Helaman, Zarahemla, and they give them a state to live in, and they protected them, and they kept that covenant. But there come a time of great war in the country, and the men were about to break that covenant and go help the Nephites fight the Lamanites. And they would not have that. But these 2,060 young men had not made that covenant because they were either not born or they were very young at that time. And so this is where I have got the scripture that for their mothers, that how they taught them in their youth. And it's in the 26th chapter of Alma, the 56th and 57th verse. And this is Helaman talking. And now they never had fought, yet they did not fear death. And they did think more upon the liberty of their fathers than they did upon their lives. Yea, they had been taught by their mothers that if they did not doubt, that God would deliver them. And they rehearsed unto me the words of their mothers, saying, we do not doubt, our mothers knew. And that's a contribute factor to their mothers, that they trusted the teaching of their mothers, the laws of God, and the power of his faith in him. And I should just make, I guess, another announcement about to skip George and George. George Medford is sick, and so George Thomas is 70. George Thomas has been willing to take his spot this Sunday morning, and I'm glad that he is with us, and that doesn't fall upon me or Dan. And to my right is Larry Ellis will be bringing the benediction, and to my left will be Aaron Brooker, deacon, and into my also left will be 70 George Thomas that will bring the message of the hour. And I would pray for him, your continued attendance, that he may be blessed to bring that which the Lord has for him to share with us. Thank you. Shall we continue our hymn with service with hymn Faith of Our Mothers? And it's an insert in your bulletin. And we'll stand for that, after which Farron Brooker will have the invocation.
Thank you so much for everything that you've given us. We thank you for the weather that you've given us, and we also thank you for the mothers that you've given us. We pray that your spirit will be in abundance with us today, that that you will give George the words to say, that we will be able to learn more about you and want to serve you more. These things I pray in Jesus' name, amen.
I'd like to read from the 19th chapter of the book of John, verses 26 and 27. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by, whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciples, Behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own house. Say thank you, kids. Boy, what a privilege to be allowed to be here today. If there's ever a time that you want to say thank you, Lord, for such a beautiful day, it's today. Can you imagine a better one? I mean, this is fantastic. Now, we have some scholars here, and I need to ask you a question. As we search the scriptures, besides Adam and Eve, who is it in the scriptures that had no parents? Jesus is not that one. Nope. Okay. I'll give you 10 more seconds. 10 seconds is gone. Remember, it's Joshua, the son of Nun. So, but, you know, here we are on Mother's Day. And as I think of several mothers that I have met, besides my own, I think of a man by the name of Samuel Doctorian. And he was an Armenian. Back in the days of the big Christian Muslim wars, his testimony was is that his mother was a strong warrior for Jesus. She was always in mighty prayer and tried to teach his kids, her children, about that. She says, someday you'll have an opportunity of being in a place that flows with milk and honey. Time went on and on. When the war took place, Samuel was like 10 years old. They came in. He was able to go down into a gully and some under some bushes and hide. But he had to watch his family be slaughtered. He washed his mother's hands to be cut off and thrown into a well. He says that was really heavy. But he says, I knew even why Mama had her last breath. She was praying for me. Went on. He was able to escape eventually. As he shared his testimony, he was allowed to come to America. Ended up being in Chicago as a tailor. And while he was there as a tailor, he says, every morning I go out and I take a large pitcher of milk and a bowl of honey, and I offer a special thanks unto the Lord Jesus because my mama and her prayers, I know I'm now in that place that she called the land flowing with milk and honey. And this is one of the places, you know, we get so caught up that we take it for granted. I think of another mother I was sitting with down in the Congo. And we were there talking one afternoon. And here she was washing her children's clothes and everything. And she says, I wash them up and down and I use this type of soap. But she says, I use this special soap. And it was a blue, real blue soap. She says, that's what I use on the collars because you can't get collars clean with the regular soap. She says, it's like my children. She says, I know I cry when I wash the clothes because I'm concerned about their lives. But she says, this soap is the prayers that I pray, and I usually cry when I pray about my children, and I'm concerned about their future, and I use this blue soap. I said, you know, only a mama would have a prayer like that. I think of some of the others that I've met that send their children off across the mountains there in the Himalaya, and they have to go about 3 miles to school. And on the way to school, they have to go amongst the man-eating tigers and the panthers and the hyenas and the green pit vipers and the cobras. And she says, all I have to do, the only thing I can do, is pray for them. She says, I would like to go for them, before them, and try to protect them. But my prayer is that the Lord Jesus will look out for them all the time. And, you know, I see this as probably the same types of things that you as mothers do here, is that you're really concerned about what is going to happen to my children, what is going to happen to my grandchildren. And the only thing we can really do is pray. You know, from the time that a baby is really, well, maybe not that small, but, you know, when it comes time to walk, and you want the baby to walk, is what happens is that someday you have to let go of its hands and let it go. Hey, we know that all it would take is a bad step and fall and hit the temple on the side of a coffee table or something or a chair. Hey, and the baby could die. Yeah, but you know, brothers and sisters, there's one thing about praying to the Lord Jesus and talking about it and having faith. And then the other time is to allow your child to go and take the steps. Unfortunately, today, we have so many parents, so many more like mothers, who cannot allow their children to just go. I see so many who are still living in the home. There are so many who are still coming back. They have never been allowed to really step out and grow. And it's getting worse. Some parents, I've talked with them, and they says, George, I feel so guilty. And I'm so afraid that something might happen to them. So she's funneling them money. And sometimes it's a guy and sometimes it's a gal. My mama said, George, get something straight. That when you grow up, there's no such thing as a free lunch out there. You learn to work. Hey, you just don't work when you feel like it. There's such thing as you give a 2 weeks notice before you quit your employer. Hey, before you even think about quitting, you get another job lined up. And then you get that secured. And then you go over here and you tell your boss that you're working for, hey, I'm going to change jobs here. But it's only right to give a 2 weeks notice. I was raised up. I was raised up on welfare, and that was back in the real crummy days. Now we were poor. I didn't know it. I thought everybody had a victory garden. I thought everybody had contests in planting beets and grapes and carrots and all the different things. And the contest was who could keep the rows the cleanest. And on Fridays, there would be a big party given. Now, our type of a party was a deal where we sat around, we played cootie, and we would, if you don't know what that is, you roll some dice or something. I think we got some feelers and a couple of legs and something like that. We took some tin cans, like your tuna bowl cans, or your tuna cans, and then we would roll a golf ball and it bounce up and it catch in one of those cans. You get so many points. Mama, she made up this game, and now I see it at the fair. You take those curtain rod things that you hang on the curtain in the shower, and you put it on the end of a willow stick, and then you try to put it over the top of a pop bottle. And that was that type of thing. Now, we had a neighbor, see, and he had a horse. And it was a challenge who got to close the gate to keep the horse in each night after he'd come in his car. Well, because of that, each of us received a old Henry candy bar. I don't know if they still make them anymore. But the candy bars were usually cut up in five pieces during the week, so when we carried our paper sack, we had a little sweetness to go along each day. But if you didn't take your turn in closing the gate, you didn't get any candy that week. So it was sort of an incentive. But you know, Mama, she was really special. And when I think of her, since my father died when I was really young, Mama always made sure we went to church somewhere. And we lived out in the country. We never did own a car. We were about a mile and a half from town. Law was, unless you have a purpose to go to town, you have no business. If you think you need to go to town and you don't have any money in your pocket, you have no business. Case in point. So sometimes we would go and pick up pop bottles in those days or and stuff and trade them in, and you got a penny a piece. But it was just these grassroots things. It was in those days, on the crummy part, is when the welfare department would come into your house at 3 in the morning and search all of the closets and check under the beds to see if there was any men's shoes. And I got to a spot where I had very little use for the welfare department. I remember a couple of men coming and looking at our place, and our house wasn't the greatest, but you know, had the greatest amount of love. Mama would gather us and we would have prayer together, and then she would sing Christian songs while we were washing dishes. My house was a two-car garage. There was 10 of us kids. We had bunk beds over on this side, and over this side was the kitchen table and the wash sink and that type of thing. We had the old oil stove in the middle. On Saturday nights, we got to take a bath, and that was one of those big wash tubs, and we heated the fire up outside, got hot water, until later on we had solar heating for a shower, and that's when we put the 30-gallon drum up on top, and those who took the showers first got the warm water. We were way ahead of our time. I didn't even know it, because nowadays people think this solar heating is wonderful, you know, and good for the environment. But, you know, Mother made sure we went to church. And she thought we should go to a number. So we spent time going to the Baptist, and there was a missionary Baptist, and then there was a free Baptist, and then there was a number of different types of Baptists. And then we went to a number of Methodist churches and Congregationalists, then went to the Catholic Church for a while, went to the Lutheran Church, and she just was really concerned that we would go to church. Finally, one day I came in contact with the Restoration Church, and seeing I was active in the Boy Scouts, and I think I shared this with you before. I first heard about the experience of Jesus Christ coming and being amongst the Indians from the Indians themselves. And I had been praying, because Mama says, hey, all of these things you've been learning in church, vacation church school, these are solids, and different churches basically teach some of the basics, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, thrown in that fiery furnace, you remember that one? And then Daniel and the lion's den, where the angel shut the lion's mouth, you know? Probably not exactly like that, but anyway, that was the basic story about the opening of the Dead Sea, the Red Sea. And I thought that was really something. My question was, does God really speak to us today? Does God really hear our prayers? And Mother said, you need to experiment with Him, because His promise is that He's no respecter of persons. She says, if I could do it for you, I would, but you have to learn some things on your own. And that's when I began to pray down in the creek bottom. Jesus, do you know who I am? And as time went, this is when I heard about Jesus coming amongst the Indians. Jump forward and ahead, you know, a minute. I was ordained back in 63 down in Waco, Texas. And my first sermon I was allowed to preach was actually 48 years ago today. I do remember that big time. I probably shouldn't go into that too much detail, because at that time, Raylene was just a little bitty baby. And she was sitting on the lap of her mother. Bless her soul. There was a big accident on her lap. And so for some reason, some of those things you remember. But after the Cuban problem, crisis that we had down south there. I was being sent over to Nam, and I really ended up in Hawaii for a year and a half. But on my way to Nam, had a chance to talk with my mother, and we were sitting around the table, and she says, George, why were you baptized? And I've been praying about Mama. And I had a chance to share with her about the belief we have in a living God and our dream and a hope of Zion someday. Of the experience I had with the Book of Mormon to know of its truth and how I had prayed about it and I felt the Holy Spirit come down upon me and bear testimony. And she cried. And then she says, is there a way you could baptize me before you go on overseas? And so Mother became the first person I baptized. And that was quite an experience. You know, I'll step a little bit further. I was sort of seen as a black sheep of the family for a while because I had joined that Mormon outfit. But over the years, one thing led to another and another. And then all of a sudden, I was accepted as the family minister. And so when my mother died, I was asked to do her funeral. And it was a just one that's done out at the cemetery. And she had this big bunch of roses over the top, that deal. And when we talk about life and death, there's a story that talks about the dragonfly larva. And I don't know if you're familiar with that one. It talks about how the dragonfly larva basically live in the bottom of an irky, dirty, messy place. And then they would notice once in a while somebody would go and claw up this little reed and disappear, and they never came back. And it was a story about the two larvae. They said, hey, let's make a deal. Whoever goes up that little stream first, you'll be up, and then you come back down. Let's tell us what it's about. So they made the covenant, you know, how to do this. One day, one felt the urge to go up this reed, and he crawled up on top of this reed, and as he was sitting up on top of a big lily plant, because as he got up, the water got warmer and lighter, and then he crawled out on top of this big lily leaf, and the larva was laying there, and all of a sudden, he felt some neat things because of the beautiful sunlight today. And in his back, he felt things taking place all over, and all of a sudden, his body split open, and lay there, and then he got to looking at his wings, and then he had beautiful wings here. So he began to move his wings back and forth, and then he began to fly around. Well, he was a dragonfly. And as he flew around, he happened to notice this rose over here, and he looked at a rose, and he went over and had a good smell of it. Wow, what a thing. He couldn't believe that what a blue sky was. And then he saw these fluffy white clouds going across. Just could not understand about these fluffy white clouds. And this is exciting, and he's going from one flower to another flower and smelling it and looking at them. And then he came back and he was sitting on top of that little lily leaf there. And he was sitting there and he says, oh yes, I'm supposed to go down and tell my friend what it is like up here. And he says, how can I do that? How do you explain to somebody how the sun feels on your back out here and that good warmth when he's never seen the sun before? And how do you explain to somebody what a blue sky looks like, much less a beautiful white cloud coming across? Now, some of you mothers have smelt some roses here, and you can smell it in your mind's eye. But if you were to go and tell somebody what a rose smells like, what would you tell them? And as he thought about it, he says, They have no comprehension. They would not understand if I try, even if I could go back. So as I was finishing up this story and sharing with the people there at the funeral, in comes a dragonfly, and it lands right on the rose. That was a special time with Mom. Now, I know some of you call her Mother, and some of you call her Mama. I know Jeanette was raised that her mother liked to be called Mother. Mine, I guess there was some days I called her Mother. Other days I called her Mama. And I don't know how to call yours. It's what would be exciting if we had the time. What do you really remember about your mother? See, and I asked one guy about that, and he says, she can make the finest banana cream pie of anybody. When I think of Mama, banana cream pie. When it comes to my birthday or Christmas, I don't care what day it is. It's banana cream pie day, and I don't need anything else. I was asking our son, Don, about, hey, what do you remember about your mom or Jeanette here? And he says, hey, Mama always knows what to do. He says, remember the time I shot that arrow through my hand? Hey, she knew. He says, remember when we was in Zion's National Park and I was skipping along and I knocked the whole end off of my toe? She always knew what to do. Playing with the hatchet somewhere, really sliced it into his hand. She just knew what to do. Hey, that's what mothers do. They just know what to do. And you know, as Mama, she says, hey, I have to start off each day with prayer, that he will be with me to guide me on what to say. You know, Raylene, she says, hey, Mama always had music. And I think John said this too. Mama always was ready to drop at the moment and be ready to go help lead music. Regardless of if they needed a song or if they needed somebody to help in a vacation church school, she was always ready. And I see that this is turning off down towards Raylene, these types of thoughts. Sorry, Ron, you're just sort of sucked into it. And you don't have a chance. But, this is the way God created us. And I think so many times of some mothers have really been blessed with all of the talents. I do not see it as a money issue, but I do see mothers that have starved themselves two meals a day, every third day, so that their children can eat, and they do not take that as a sacrifice in starving. But they spend it as a real time in prayer and fasting. And so this is just a special time in life. And when we look at this day, I feel so great because it's such a beautiful, beautiful day. Let me tell you about the rose here a minute. In our family, there was our family tradition. And Mama was really... it was like a mighty when she said no, and then the day that she said, and you said, well, can I, can I, or why? And the deal was just because I said so. That type of a no. Maybe you didn't experience that sometimes. Well, she was just as passionate about how to say no, and that other word she said, George Raymond, hey, she had all of my attention. And I don't know if you've ever been spoken to with your first name and your second. Now I want your attention, period. That's another thing that I'll give you two bits about, Mom. But the white rose and the red rose. Growing up in Southern California, we had some rose gardens, and she always insisted that we wear a rose on Mother's Day. And the reason why we wore a rose is that the red one represents that your mama's still alive and that things work together. If you wear a white rose, your mama's dead, or she's gone to be with Jesus. And this is why in our family it's always been a tradition. I sort of was a slacker this week. Normally I like to get Jeanette a corsage, and I knew it was really special this week because this is the first Mother's Day without her mother, and somehow I didn't get everything ordered like I should have. But anyway, due to a good daughter, when I can call for help, and you know, different ones have little people you can call in and help bring you in line, I appreciated that. But I thank so much that the Lord Jesus placed me in a family, and I don't know how it happened. I don't know how my spirit got to, number one, being born in this America, in this land of flowing with milk and honey, in this land of opportunity. Maybe some of you have all those answers, but I don't know yet. But to be allowed to grow up in the family that I have grown up in, and having a mother like I've had, I really want to say thank you, Lord, all these. Well, may you have a great day. I know that some of you are going to go out and eat a little bit later. This is a real special day in different ways that you to share this day. But may God bless you. And as we sing in a few moments the song, Let Us Pray for One Another. I think that's the song. Something about prayer. Okay, good. You know, let us leave. Think of those who whose mothers are sick, who are still having a hard time with the loss of their mother, and let's uphold one another for strength, and those who really need a special blessing of the Lord Jesus today. And I thank you for the opportunity of coming to share with you. And God bless you.
We want to take a moment to recognize the mothers in our congregation. And like George said, there's a lot of different ways of a mother, and there's a lot of we have a lot of mothers that mother have her mother to any kids, but they're a mother to each one of the kids in our congregation, which a lot of them been mothers to me. And I think of people I've passed out flowers over the years that's no longer with us, and they were great mothers to our congregation. So for the children or the grandchildren come up, and then I'll try to help pass out as much as I can.
Just for a second.
Help me out if I missed anybody. Anybody else in this? There's two back on the back table. I might take one more. Thank you.
I want to thank each one of you for coming this morning and sharing with your brothers and sisters in prayer and in the sermon. And I know that our mothers are being blessed throughout each one of our lives. And I thank George for sharing his testimony and the thoughts upon his mind. And he has been a valiant servant to step in the spare of the moment and fill in for George Metzger. We appreciate your ministry and your participation with us. You're welcome anytime. Shall we close with hymn 98? Let us pray for one another.
In his way.
most gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee for this opportunity to have been able to come before Thee this day. And we do thank Thee for the message that our brother has brought to us this day and reminding us of those things that our mothers have done for us throughout our lives. We do ask that Thou would be with us this day and guide us and direct us in the things that we say and do. And to always remember to place Thee first in all things that we do. And we do thank Thee for giving us our mothers that so that we would be able to grow up and to be able to learn those things which Thou hast given unto us. For we do love Thee, Lord, and we do praise Thee. In Thy Son's most holy name, Jesus Christ. Amen.